North Rock Podcast.
I love Saturday night service. It's good to be with you guys again. It's a joy to kind of share what God's laid on my heart. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about discipleship in our lives, how to bring in the discipline of living for Christ. Andrew started off the series talking about growing in, by learning and growing in knowledge. Chad talked last week about being spiritually healthy and emotionally healthy and looking to the Word to let Christ heal the hurts that are in our hearts. And this week I'm going to be talking about the discipline of service. When they first asked me to do that, I thought to myself, I don't really think of service as a discipline. It's just something I do. So it's been an interesting time of study and looking at what the Bible actually has to say about serving and what God does when we serve. I also understand that sometimes when we talk about actually serving in the church, we get a little defensive about it, right? We get a little uncomfortable. We feel a little judged. And so I'm going to ask us right now to take a moment to take a deep breath and leave your butts at the door. So for the next few minutes while I'm speaking, every time something but, I would but, or I, maybe I would but, I want you just to put that outside the door. And if you want to pick it up when you leave, that's fine. But I want our hearts to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us and what the Scriptures say to us. So we really need to have those put outside for the next 30 minutes or so. Are you guys willing to do that? All right, let me open in prayer. Father, I'm thankful that you are intentional and that you, everything you say in your word is for our good and because you love us and you want us to be a part of your life. I ask right now that you will give us ears to hear. Let me be obedient to what you ask me to speak and let us be obedient to receive it and walk it out. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, when I was first going to teach this message, I had a million ideas on the direction it was going to take. I knew what it meant to serve. I've been serving for a long time. I started to tell you how many years, and I realized that it's probably longer than a lot of you have been alive. And I decided not to tell you. It was a discipline I learned from my mother. My mother always served in church, so I was always in church. And it is a discipline that I have instilled in my children. They know how to serve in church. They know how to serve in the community. And they know how to serve others in their lives. And so when I was first taught, I was like, oh, yeah. I actually said to Andrew, we were talking about the three series. And I said to him, you know, it'd be nice if you could give me, like, head. I would really like to talk about learning because I like to learn. And I feel like serving is like, you know, that's what I do. So it'd be nice to be stretched. And he goes, I'm doing learning, because, you know, he's Andrew. So I thought that I was prepared to teach on that. I had all kinds of ideas. I was going to make a video. I won't tell you what happened with the video, but it kind of fell through. And then this week, everything changed for me. So I have a confession I want to make. For the past few months, I've been really agitated. I met with Chad last week on our normal meeting, and he said, as he always does, Deb, how are you doing? I said to him, I've got a bad attitude. And he goes, you do? I said, yeah, I have a bad attitude. He goes, why? I said, I don't know, but it's bad. I know it's bad. I don't know why it's bad, but it's bad. And he said, is it me? It's a bad attitude. I know it. And I said, and then there's this nagging thing that the Holy Spirit's speaking to me about time, and I don't know what he's trying to say, and I can't get a hold of it. He said, well, I'll pray for you. I'm sure, and ran out of the office. No. No. He said I'd pray for you. He's really kind. This week, however, it all became crystal clear. And here's what was revealed. The Echo students, our interns at the church, and I were doing our scripture study. And we were looking at something that Paul had written, and he said that he was a bond slave of Christ. And we talked about what it meant to be a bond slave. You see, you could become a slave because you owed a debt that you had to pay back. And at the end of that time, you could say, I like the Lord that's over me. I choose to serve him for the rest of my days. And I'll be committed to him because I love him and I trust him. That's very much truth of what happened in my life. I accepted him when my life was a mess. And he was so good to me. You know, in the beginning, the walk was all about me. I'd pray and he'd answer prayers. He'd ask me to do something, I couldn't wait to do it. And more he would say to me, will you move outside your comfort zone? And at one point I had to make a decision whether he was going to be in charge or I was going to be in charge. And I made the decision that I was going to be a bondslave of Christ, that I would change my agenda to live out his agenda for me. Right? And I realized that I had jumped off the altar when it came to time. You know, I had three major life changes this year in 2015. In January, my oldest child, Tiffany, some of you know her, some of you don't. If you know her, you'll know how special she is, how anointed she is. But she left the United States to live in Honduras as a missionary. It was difficult. I knew that that's where God wanted her. I see that so strong on her, but I missed her. We were close. We still talk every day. Thank God for technology. But I missed my time with her. The second thing that happened was joyous, but it changed the dynamics of my family. I had my first grandchild, who is the most beautiful, smart, perfect child in the world. But it changed the dynamic in my family. I was learning to be a grandmother, and I was trying to learn what that meant and how to stay in my place and not interfere with the parents and to honor them and to respect them and to walk that out. That was quite a lesson. She's perfect. I love her. It's great. But the third thing was that in April of last year, my dad got very ill, and he passed away in November. And so I was making trips back and forth to Dallas. And I was maintaining my schedule. I don't know why I'm crying. April gave me a Kleenex. I'm going to blame her. I know. I know where she is. It's in your pocket. but that all happened in a year. And what I began to feel was I had no control over my time. What I thought I was supposed to be doing, I didn't have time to do. What I was doing, I was constantly thinking about what else I should do. And so I pulled back and I started trying to manage my schedule. And it squeezed out all the joy of what I was doing. Even when I was with my granddaughter, I was thinking where I should have been, what I could have been getting accomplished. And it was robbing me. God asked me this week, will you give me your time? Can I manage your time? I hadn't really thought about it like that. It wasn't that I was spending my time on something frivolous, but I had to say, yeah, I'm your bondslave. You can direct my schedule. You can direct my resources. You can direct my actions. So I gave it back to him. And he began to show me some stuff. I'm telling you, that day, that was Tuesday. That night, I went to an open house, and I cannot tell you how many people said these words to me. And I was like, okay, I've repented. But I had multiple people say to me, I really want to get together with you, but I know you're too busy. I would really like to talk to you about this, but I know you're too busy. Man, I was like, oh, what have you been doing, Debbie? What have you been doing that everybody else is feeling your stress? That's not what I'm called to do. And I kept saying, I'm not too busy. Call me. We'll figure out something. Right? The door will open. Wednesday morning, I walked into the office, and Lori said to me, I need something by next Tuesday from you. It's a pretty big project. It's something I haven't had time for. And I started to say something, because I have a hectic week. And I looked at her, and I said to her, you know, I'm just a bondslave. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just a bondslave. I went home that night and I got a phone call, and my Monday opened up. I'll finish the project. Like, okay, I'm beginning to get it. What he began to say to me is, I am your provider. I am your rest. I am your peace. I am your resources. I am your gifting. I am your encouragement. I can choose to do those things on my own. We can all choose to do those things on our own. We can worry about where the next dollar is coming from. We can worry about where we're going to get relaxed. We get so stressed and all we can think about is trying to get away or do this or entertainment. But you know what? If we're surrendered to Christ, he supplies all those things. He began to show me as he took me back over the year how many times he had just smothered me in treasures and I didn't fully appreciate them. When Tiffany left, the love and the support and the encouragement, overwhelming, not only for me, but for her. Ah, it's something to see your child live so far away and see God just surround her. Right? I couldn't have done it. There's no way I could have done it. But I let him do it, and he did it extremely well. When my granddaughter was born, most of the people here don't know her, I cannot tell you how many people gave me gifts to give to my granddaughter, celebrating with me. He said, you missed it. Did you not see that I was giving you gifts? When my father was sick and dying, and I was in Dallas, away from my church family, my support system, outside of my immediate family, I got hundreds of text messages. The day of the funeral, I wasn't here. I woke up that morning to text after text. No, it's a hard day. Praying for you. You're in my thoughts. I came back from that. You know, I was a little worried because I have 6 interns that I work with every day. And I had left them on the wild for 2 weeks. And if you know that, that's a pretty good description. But I came back and what they shared about what they learned was priceless. And what they shared with me while I was there, do you know, every night, every one of them texted me, encouraging, this is what we did, this is what we learned. We miss you, we're praying for you. He goes, you missed that, Debbie? Why did you pick it back up? Because I'm busy. Because I wasn't letting him be my Lord. We do that sometimes, you know. We do that sometimes. In Romans 12, 1 through 5, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Ouch. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I wasn't being a living sacrifice. I wasn't operating as if I was a part of a body, right? I was operating as if I was an independent minister in Christ. That's kind of sobering. That's hard to look at and admit that that's where you had ended up. So I put myself back on the altar this week. And he began to reveal some other things to me. When we choose to provide for ourselves, when we choose to think more highly of ourselves and what we are doing than we think of the body, then we're out of place. And he's no longer leading us. That's what he said to me. We always say, is this right or is this wrong? It wasn't a matter of right or wrong. It was a matter of where my heart was and where my mind was and how I was handling what he had given me. I put it back on the altar. We do not gain salvation through works. Right? I want to make that clear. We don't gain salvation by works. It's a free gift. He loves us. He adores us. So let's talk about why we serve. You ready? Okay. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, we don't hear a thing. Okay. By cunning and craftiness of men, their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. All right, so here we go. Sacrifice comes before service. Do you hear that? None of us can find time if we're trying to find time. Sacrifice comes before service. Do you see the role of the leader in that scripture? The role of a leader is to prepare God's people, the body of Christ, for the work. Right? That was God's design. It was his perfect design. It was a design put in place so that everybody would be equipped and the body of Christ, us, would be built up. Right? Not so you'd be abused, tired, stressed, but so you'd be built up. It was never intended for you to be thrown into a role or a position without training. That's not what is expected. But we've changed that design. In our minds, we've changed that design. If we lose a part or somebody's not doing their part, you know, we don't have an extra arm laying in the house in case something happens to our arm. And in the body of Christ, we don't have extra people in the closet. It's the truth. He puts us in a body for us to fulfill a function. So if we're not prepared, if we're not fulfilling a function, then we suffer. The body as a whole suffers. We may not see it. We may not understand it. But it's the truth. We have to remember that. There's a reason he set a body. We operate sometimes as if we have extra body parts and we just have to show up. We all have a role to play in the body of Christ. Many times what happens, sorry about that, but many times what happens is that the body isn't doing their part. So the leadership takes on the role of the workers, and then nobody's equipped. We don't have time to do what we're supposed to be doing because the body's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I told you, leave your butt at the door. But this is more than about just getting work done. Hear me about that. This is the part that I love. The body, look at the rest of that scripture. The body is built up until we each reach unity in faith and knowledge. When the body is doing the works of service, we're built up in faith and knowledge. It impacts you. When you're serving, God does something in your life. The body will become mature. How many of you would like to feel like you're growing closer to Christ, that you understand more about who God is and how he works? That comes through service, if you look at that scripture. We will attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That comes from serving. Right? When I told you I was getting those text messages and encouragement in the presence, those were coming from people that I serve with. Those were coming from the body of Christ that I had served with. We always talk about iron sharpening iron. We can't sharpen one another if we never touch. If we're not in it together, working side by side and rubbing up against each other, we don't get sharp. We're just iron. And finally, we all grow when the body does what it's called to do. So how many of you want to grow? How many of you want more of Christ? Serving is a discipline of growth. I want to say right now that I can't tell you how many times I get two things said to me all the time when Tiffany's mentioned, and she'll be here next week. You guys won't want to miss it. But I get two things said to me. One is, I wish my child was more like her. And two, what did you do to make her that way? First of all, if you know me, you know that that was not me. The only thing that I did was, she was with me from birth serving. That child was dragged to the church where I served every single time. I have pictures of her as a child, young child. We led a clown ministry, dressed up as a clown when she was about four. I had to go. She had to go. Right? So I taught her to serve. It's a natural part of her life. And God has just continued to use that and to grow. You want to impact your children? Serve. So the top 10 reasons I can't serve, I hear this all the time. You ready? First one, I served my time. This is not a jail sentence. This is ministry. The next one is, I'm too old. The next one is, I'm too young. Next is, it's not my gifting. I am not a people person. My family needs me for whatever reason. I work full time. I don't have enough. I'm not spiritually mature. I don't have time, or I don't feel called. Anybody ever say any of those things? You don't have to raise your hand. Here's my responses. For number 10, that you have served your time, you're still alive. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says your time is done. No. I'm too old. I love this one. Bye. On Saturday night, you have the perfect example. When you have, can I tell your age? Okay. When you have 97-year-old Vi come and make the, how much?
96.
Oh, sorry. You're going to have another year, I guess. 96, sorry. 96-year-old Vi making coffee and serving it in the cafe. None of us are too old. I'm too young. I put down Sohaila. Sohaila is 7 or 8. She wants to come up on Fridays to help set up for CR. She just wants to be here. And then I put the Echo students. They serve their little hearts out. Many of them are 18, 19 years old. They're here serving their little hearts out. 2020 serves their little hearts out. These are college-age kids. You're not too young. Not my gifting. My thoughts are, you have no gifting? You don't know how to pick up trash, make coffee, sweep a floor, hold a baby? Pass an offering basket? How much gifting do you need to serve? That's just my question. I'm not a people person. You're in trouble because the Bible says we're to serve one another. Second, my family needs me to model obedience. Sorry. I work full time. I take care of my granddaughter every Monday all day long. I'm going to tell you this. I would not be a stay-at-home. I'm exhausted by the end of the day. She's 10 months old. I don't know what I would do. Those college-age, the 6 college-age students do not wear me out as bad as that one baby. We all work full-time in some capacity. Third was, I don't know enough. Nah, knowledge comes by serving. We just saw that in Ephesians 4, right? That's how we grow. I don't have time. Don't we all have the same amount of time? It's how you're using your time. You know, one of the things that I've done with people over the years is I say, you have 24 hours in a day. I'll give you that you sleep 8 hours. I'll give you that you work 8 hours. What are you doing with the other eight? Think about that. What are you doing with the other eight? That's a lot of time if you don't know where it's going. And then number one, I just said, here we go. The scripture calls us to serve in these capacities. Serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Make disciples, Matthew 28:13. We're all called to make disciples. Who's your disciple? You know what? If you got saved last week, you can disciple somebody by telling them about what God's done in your life. We're all called. We all need to stop and go like, ooh, who is my disciple? Who am I impacting for Christ? He didn't say, well, when you get time, or if you're highly anointed, or when you reach this point. He said, go and make disciples. Amen. We're all called. Next, we're all called to give to the storehouse. Malachi 3:10 and 2 Corinthians 9:7. Giving is a service. You're making a sacrifice from one place to give to God. Pray for one another. I can't stress this enough, you guys. Pray for the body of Christ, for this body. You don't have to know them by name. I'm like, Lord, you see who's in my mind. You know what their needs are. Go, touch their lives. Draw them closer to you. Pray for one another. James 5:16. We're called to train our children. I said this a while back. We're all called to train our children. They're our heritage as a church. Deuteronomy 6:7. And then encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13. So, we're all called. We've already got our calling. That's the bare minimum. When somebody says, I'm waiting for God to give me a ministry or God to show me where he wants me to work, I always go like, well, are you faithful to what he's already said? Right? Are you being faithful to what he's told all of us? Because that's when you're working and God says, you know what, you've been faithful. I've seen you mature. Come here. I have something for you. I have something new for you. It's quiet. It's really quiet. Serving is for our benefit. It's for my benefit. I have a friend who's a pastor's wife in Dallas. She was a pastor's wife when I met her. And I went to a women's conference that she was hosting with about 250 women from her church. And she's a sharp woman. Just presents so well and ran that conference so well. It was just dynamic. And the first night she said, I need to honor my mentor, the person who's gotten me to this place. And I couldn't wait to find out who it was. She says, this woman, the first time I met her, wrapped her arms around me and loved me as if I was her own daughter. And every week when I would show up to church, she would wrap her arms around me and say, I've been waiting for you to show up. I've been looking for you. How was your week? She said, there was weeks I would walk in and she would say, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you today. And she'd pull her aside and lay hands on her and pray for her. Or she'd give her a scripture and a word of encouragement. Denise said, I was showing up in Daisy Dukes and a halter and flip-flops. And she said, she was treating me like I was royalty. She accepted Christ. And pretty soon she said, that woman said to her, would you like to help me greet? And Denise said, oh, I would love to. She said, okay, honey, you're going to need to get a pair of slacks and a blouse. Because when you greet, it's fine if you want to attend, but when you greet, you're representing Christ. And Denise said, that was the first time I heard that. So she went to the Goodwill and got a pair of slacks and a blouse and started greeting. And she learned to pray for people. And she learned to love people. And this woman just continued to pour into her. Said a few years later, she's a pastor's wife, leading 250 women in discipleship. There's not a position that's not important. There's not a part of this body that we do not need. We are all called. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I'm going to ask that we have some ministry cards we're going to hand out. I'm going to ask you to take just a few moments to pray. asking God where you're supposed to serve, what that looks like. We shouldn't do everything. Remember, we're all body. The arm doesn't walk. The eye doesn't smell. But we're all called to something. Will you allow him to encourage you to serve? Will you allow him to draw you into a discipleship way of living so that you grow and mature and experience the fullness of Christ? I'm going to pray real quick and then we're going to sing. Father, I just ask right now that you'd speak to the hearts of this congregation. Father, I ask that you speak truth in life, that you bring conviction where there needs to be conviction and encouragement where there needs to be encouragement. I ask that each one of us are obedient, Father God, to what you're asking us to do, and that we yield ourselves as living sacrifices. Thank you that your heart is always drawing us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I told you I've walked with him for a long time. I'll tell you that the best times in my life are when I'm yielded and serving him. There's joy you can't imagine. There's peace you can't imagine. There's provision I can't even believe. He's a good, good father. If you'll pass your cards to the middle, Josh is going to pick them up. If you're not ready, I'm going to ask you that you just continue to pray, that God will direct you and lead you. You begin to ask him what your role is in this body, that we'll be knit together and that we'll accomplish what he's asked of our church. Okay, let's pray, and I'm going to close and we can leave, okay? Father, I thank you for time together with the body. I thank you, Father God, that your provision is complete. I ask that your Holy Spirit will continue to draw us closer to you and show us our place. Help those who are already here, Father God, to make room for the new that are coming. Help us to be obedient servants. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.